ذا المعارج لبيك ذا الفواضل لبيك إله الحق لبيك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We, on behalf of Nurul Quran International and as students of Quran, would like to welcome everyone to this beautiful course called Precious Pearls, with the intention that let's all make this Ramadan fruitful and productive, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of us. Ameen. My name is Sister Rukat, and I will be taking Salat Dua sessions. Can we go to the next slide, please? Before we start this beautiful journey, let's all revive and refresh our intentions and remember that guidance comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana zidna ilma. Our Lord, enrich us in knowledge. As we all know that the pursuit of knowledge and the use of reason based on sense and observation is made obligatory on all believers. And inshallah, as students of Quran, we all strive for that beneficial knowledge. This course is one such effort from all of us. Can we move to the next slide, please? Next slide, please. Thank you. Before moving on to the main session, we all will go through some classroom ground rules and also class structure, that is format we will be following. The ground rules for this session, or for the whole course, are: be respectful to each other, show up on time, that is, respect your time and come prepared. Listen with an open mind. Stay mentally and physically present, that is, being attentive. And please type your queries whenever you have a doubt. Inshallah, we'll make sure that at the end of the session, we will answer all your queries. Next slide, please. So the classroom structure, as we all know, the course is going to be over the next 6 weeks, Saturdays and Sundays, 2 hours each day. We will have our session started with Husool-e Ilm Duas. Then we will move on to Salah Duas, which will be on Saturdays by Sister Rukat. Ramadan Reminders on Sundays by Sister Shaista. Lessons from Surah Yusuf by Sister Maryam on both the days. Aqeedah by Sister Amina on both the days. Mother of Believers by Sister Shifa on both the days. And last but not the least, short quiz and summary on both the days again. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. So coming to the first session, which is Salah Duas. In this session, this will be our first session for the day today. In this session, we will focus on duas during Salah. But first, we will try to understand the importance of duas. Next slide, please. Dua means supplication, that is, communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an important part of our faith and belief. It is a confirmation and attestation from us that we are in the need of our Creator at every instance, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent of any need from us. Allah says in Surah Al-Ghafir, Ayah 60, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. Indeed, those who disdain my worship will enter Jahannam. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الدُّعَى هُوَ الْعِبَادَةِ. That dua is an ibadah. Dua is a worship. Next slide, please. We all should know that dua is the ultimate form of abdiya, a bondsmanship between Allah and His abd. In that is an expression of total dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping this in mind, it is very important to follow the etiquettes of dua, which are tawheed. We should call upon no one except Allah. This is the most important condition of dua, without which no dua will be accepted and no good deed is taken up. Ikhlas, that is being sincere towards Allah alone in making dua. Stay focused and connected, because Allah does not respond to a dua that originates from a negligent or an inattentive heart. Asma'ul Husna. It is a sunnah to call Allah with His beautiful names and attributes. The best way to do that is call Him by a name that is relevant to your need. Durood. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every dua is kept back until you send blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is very important to mention durood before you say your dua. Iman, that is, we should have good expectation and faith that Allah will respond to our duas. humility. Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah said, being humble is a sign of Iman. A person demonstrates that he firmly believes that Allah can hear even the quietest of prayers and thoughts. In Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 55, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Udu'u Rabbakum tadarra'u'an wa khufiya. Invoke your Lord with humility and in secret. Last, halal. Ensure that one's earning is halal. It is also essential that dua must be for something pure and good and should not involve sin or severing of the ties of kinship. Next slide, please. So we have targeted the duas which are often neglected, or I would say for granted taken duas. And these duas are the duas which are read in different positions in Salah. Our focus will be to understand the importance of these duas and also memorize them, inshallah. And we will also not memorize the traditional duas which we already do. We will memorize the duas which are sunnah but have been forgotten or neglected. So let's see the positions of Salah which we will be focusing in our sessions. Qiyam, Ruku, followed by rising from Ruku, followed by Sajida, followed by Jalsa, which is when you sit between your sujood, and followed by Tashahud. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. The first one is Qiyam, where we read dua in the beginning of the prayer after Takbir. This dua is known as Dua-e Istiftah, means to open. Now, traditionally, the dua which we read is Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jaduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. But here we will try to memorize a dua that has been forgotten but is a sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this dua at tahajjud for nafil. So I will read the dua from the next session. I will read the dua and you will read it after me. But in this session, we will just focus on, you will focus on my reading and focus on the meaning, inshallah. Allahumma Rabba Jibreela wa Mika'ila wa Israfila Fatir as-samawati wal ardi alim al-ghaybi wash-shahada anta tahkumu bayna 'ibadik fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun ihdini limakhtalifa min al-haqq bi-idhnik innaka tahdi man tasha ila siratin mustaqim. O Lord, Lord of Jibreel, Mika'il and Israfil, the great angels, creator of the heavens and the earth, knower of the seen and the unseen, you are the arbitrator between your servants in that which they have disputed. Guide me to the truth by your leave in that which they have deferred. For verily you guide whom you will to a straight path. Ameen. The concept of this dua entails the perfect recognition of Allah's right to be worshipped, that He is the Lord of these great angels. It also consigns a man to his proper status, that he is an insignificant creation, that we are an insignificant creation who has no control of any matter by himself, by ourselves. But rather, he is the one that is controlled by the Lord. He is the one that is controlled by Allah, the Lord of Jibreel, Mika'il and Israfil. This dua also allows us to appreciate the majesty and eminence of the Creator. It also allows us to ask for guidance which is truthful and right. Ameen. So that ends our dua session. We will try to memorize together this dua with meaning during the week. And inshallah, next week, we will let you know that if you will send us the recordings, that we will let you know during the week, inshallah. Sister Maryam will take the next session, which is lessons from Surah Yusuf. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You guys can hear my voice, inshallah. So we'll begin, inshallah. Lessons from Surah Yusuf. So mashallah, you had a really nice dua session and you all learned a beautiful dua, and inshallah, you guys will implement this in your daily salah. Try to memorize this very beautiful dua, inshallah. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin our lessons from Surah Yusuf. I'm sure you all will have your Quran with you, and if you don't have the Mushaf with you with the English translation and the Arabic as well, inshallah, it will help you when listening to it, because you can connect the ayah and the lesson that we'll learn from it, inshallah. So with that, we'll begin. Rabbi shrahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. And before we begin, just a quick thing, you know, why we are learning these lessons from Surah Yusuf, or why learn these Quran in that in a depth way. Well, first of all, we all know that in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that this book is for those who want guidance, and this book is guidance for those who have taqwa. So we all know that we want guidance, and guidance is something that is going to help us live our life to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And guidance, and this book is guidance, basically means that it's a manual for our life, inshallah. So inshallah, first we'll have the introduction of the surah, a little bit of the period of revelation, a little bit of the reasons why it was revealed, and the purpose, inshallah. So first of all, Surah Yusuf, if you want to look at the introduction in the time period, it was revealed at that time. There was the last era of Makki period, which was basically really tough time for everybody, for the Muslims. There was a lot of oppression. There was physical abuse, oppression, social, and all of it was going on at all. Like, you know, it, in the midst of all that, the surah was revealed. And it was a time when actually Quraysh were thinking of either exiling Prophet or killing him, or actually to imprison him. So it was a very extreme time when the surah was revealed. So you can, and as you will go through it, and as we will derive lessons from it, you will know that how important this surah was to Prophet ﷺ, and how closely relatable this surah was to Prophet ﷺ's life. So we can see. So this was the time period, and the reason and the purpose of revelation. Actually, what happened was, you know, Quraysh were finding every way possible to get Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to humiliate him, or to embarrass him, or to find out something to prove that he was not the right messenger. He was not the true prophet. So they will ask all these questions, and they will send somebody to the Medina, and the Jews were living there, Jews in Medina, and they will ask them, what kind of question should we ask to prove that he was wrong, or he's the wrong prophet? So they actually did ask the people of Jews in Medina. So they actually came to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they asked him, what is the reason why Bani Israel migrated from Syria to Egypt, Asham to Egypt, because that's where they used to live. And so they thought that Prophet ﷺ was not going to be able to answer that question, and thus, you know, he would be humiliated. Rather, it actually happened that the whole surah, the whole story was revealed, and they were actually humiliated, the people of Medina and the Quraysh and the Kuffar of Quraysh. So we get this. And then there are many reasons or the purpose of revelation also. Like, what is Allah trying to tell? So there are many, of course, but I'm just going to tell you a few. One of the main purpose was to prove the true prophet of the Prophet. He was a true prophet. He was, a prophet that was giving directly the wahi and the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to reject all the false claims of the disbelievers. They used to call him a magician, a liar, a soothsayer, you know, all these things that they used to call him. And there was, when Allah ta'ala revealed these surahs, it was literally what you can call them, slap on their face, right? You call him a liar, you call him a magician. No, you don't know any of these stories, neither did he. But he is saying all this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing all these stories to him, all these ayat to him. And another purpose was to actually give a very strong message to the Quraysh, that what are you about to do with him, what you are thinking to do with him actually, is literally this similar to what the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam did to Yusuf alayhi salam. And in it, actually throughout the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, you will see a lot of a lot of consolation to Prophet alayhi salam, that yes, ups and downs will come, tough time will come, things will go worse, that things will go into difficult phase, but they will get better. It's like a consolation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet alayhi salam, that yes, it happened to your brother Yusuf. It happened to the Prophet of Allah, and he went through a very tough time because of his brothers, and Quraysh were his Prophet's brothers, right? They were the same tribe, they were the same people. Before that, they used to take pride in that Prophet, they used to call him Sadiq al-Sadiq al-Amin. They used to call him the truthful and the trustworthy. But now, because what he said, La ilaha illallah, Rashadu la ilaha illallah, wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluh, that's when they don't, now they don't like it. So Allah Ta'ala is giving a very strong message that don't worry about it. What you're going to do, you would know that in the future, Islam will rise. So these are few of the reason and the purpose of the revelation of Surah Yusuf. And now inshallah, we will talk about the overall lessons of the Surah. So even though we will go one by one from each ayah, inshallah, but then overall, what do we learn from this? What do we learn from the surah? So first of all, we learn that every story in the Quran is there to teach us. It is here to teach us a lesson, to teach us some values, some lessons that we can implement that in our life, or when are we going through a similar situation, what do we do in them? So this is one overall lesson we get. And many other surahs have the same lesson. Like Allah Ta'ala is telling us how we go about if we are facing the similar situation or something like that. We also find out that prophets, the most beloved to Allah are the prophets, and those are the ones who are tested the most. So we learn that. And so that should tell us some kind of consolation when we are going through some tough time, that it's okay. Prophets were tested more than us, way more than we can even imagine. One thing that we can surely see in the surah overall lesson would be jealousy. Jealousy is something, it starts by slow. It starts very light, like, oh my God, you know, she has better grades than me. Or, you know, she's prettier than me. She gets more compliments than I do. Or teachers like her more. Or she has more friends. It starts very, very light, but it can grow like something that destroys iman. It literally can. Jealousy literally can destroy iman. We also learn from the story, you will see that true believers, true mu'min, the one who has true iman, remains positive and thankful in all situations. So if you look at our life right now, what's going on in the world, the current situation of quarantine, of fear, of sadness, of scare, what's going to happen, we don't know, uncertainty. So what should we do? We should look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. No matter what the time was, no matter what happened to him, no matter how dire the situation was, he remained positive and he remained thankful. Not only positive, but thankful to Allah. So today, if we think, well, we can't go out, what we can do, we should think that we should rather focus on positivity and being thankful for what we have. We always have something to be thankful for. If nothing else, we have the iman to be thankful for. But I'm sure we have most of it. Most of us have more than what we can even imagine. One other lesson that we learn is taqwa. Taqwa is not something that a pious person only has taqwa. Taqwa is just a quality, a feeling of being aware and cautious of Allah. That Allah is watching me. Not when I'm doing a good deed. For example, right now I'm like, oh mashallah, I'm doing Quran class, right? You are mashallah listening. You're like, oh alhamdulillah. Yes, Allah is watching me and He's smiling at me, right? But whenever I'm doing something not that's displeasing Allah, that's also when Allah is watching you. So what happens when you and I develop that concept of taqwa, that feeling that Allah is watching me no matter what, how young I am, how old, I'm alone, I'm with people. That is something, a quality that we need to repel shaitan. That is the quality needed against shaitan's whispers and all the temptations. So that is very important. We will also learn overall that patience is a quality of righteous people. And it's not that patience that after we complain to Allah or after we complain to people, oh my God, this is the worst day, this, this. And then we say, okay, now what can I do? I need to be compassionate. No. Patience happens. The true patience is at the first moment of calamity, at the real time of calamity that strikes or the news that you get. Rather than saying, oh, why this happened to me? You say, Qadrullah. It is from the Qadr of Allah. All right. It is from the decree of Allah. Sometimes isolation is better than company. And I think I can vouch for that. Many times, and most of us, if you and I are not cautious of who we hang out with, who are our friends, we actually indulge in more sin than we actually do something else. So that is very important. Isolation. Right now, we are not able to go outside. Right now, we cannot meet our friends, families. This is the best time to think about, what kind of friends do I have? If my company is not making me a better person, not making me a better Muslim, then maybe isolation is better. Maybe having less friends is better. Then what other lesson? Very important, of course, the two are combined together. Dua is a direct connection with Allah. And we all just talked about the virtues of dua with Sister Ruqat. So absolutely perfect. Never underestimate the power of dua, sincere dua. And we all know that dua itself is a ibadah. And Allah loves forgiveness. So when we deal with people, friends, families, acquaintances, anybody, like generally, if someone does anything to us, we should forgive them. And forgiveness doesn't mean that you remind them of that stuff. Oh, by the way, you remember you did that? Forgiveness means you forgive and you just forget. Like Allah does. When we do a sin, when we say astaghfirullah, He removes it. We have this assumption that He removes it, and He's just not going to remind us of that if we ask for sincere forgiveness. So same thing He wants us to do. He loves when we forgive others, and that because He also forgives us. And not last but not least, that we must trust in Allah's plan. This is a must. And yeah, there are many more lessons, but I just did a brief summary of the overall lessons, inshallah. Now we will move to Ayah number 1-3, inshallah. So, just a quick background. I'm sure if you guys can type, inshallah, if you can. So we all know who was Yusuf alayhi salam. He was the son of Yaqub alayhi salam, and he was the grandson of Ishaq alayhi salam, and the great grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So literally, you can see three generations of prophets, right? His great-grandfather is Ibrahim alayhi salam, then Ishaq alayhi salam, then his own father is also Yaqub alayhi salam, is a prophet. So, and later on, he is going to be a prophet. So in the family of this righteous company, right, Yaqub alayhi salam had 12 sons, Yusuf alayhi salam and his younger brother from one mother, and then he had other wives. From them, he had 10 other sons. So he had a total of 12 sons. Yusuf alayhi salam's mother was not alive at that time, and she had passed away. So Yusuf alayhi salam and his younger brother, they were two from one mother. And they were young, and they were younger sons. So, you know, not that Yaqub alayhi salam did not like his other sons or anything. He loved, as a parent, I'm a mother, I know. As a parent, we love all our kids, right? But, you know, some, when the younger ones are just kind of take your attention more, or when somebody who's very sweet, very kind, always doing something nice to you, you just tend to be a little bit more towards them. And that doesn't mean anything. So inshallah, just a little bit of the background of that. And one other thing before we begin is, this is literally the one time Yusuf al-Islam is orally mentioned in the Quran. One time, all at once, his story from beginning to end. And it is a beautiful story, as Allah calls it. One of the beautiful, most beautiful stories, Ahsanul Qasas. And if you have ever heard the word Ihsan or Husn, Ahsan, it means excellent. Something that is beyond excellence, something that is way up there, right? So this is a story which Allah calls Himself a beautiful story. So how beautiful it would be. So with that mind frame, inshallah, I'll quickly just read one or two ayah. And we can see how far we can go from it, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. ألف لام را. These are the حروف المقطعات. We all know these are the letters. We recite them separately. We don't join them, right? We all know that they are disjointed letters, and this is how we recite them. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. These are the verses of the clear book. So let's look at some lessons from this ayah. What does that mean? First of all, Alif Lam Ra. We could have read them Alif Lar or Alif Lam Ra combined, but we don't. Why? Because Prophet ﷺ did not tell us to read like that. So without Prophet ﷺ's help or without his tafsir, without his explanation, we are not able to know how to recite even the Quran. Second of all, Allah Ta'ala did not tell us the meanings of those, neither did Prophet ﷺ. So in the Huruf al-Muqattat, what is the lesson behind this is it makes us humble that we do not know anything until and unless Allah tells us. So we have to really become humble before we begin the Quran. Even if you read Surah Baqarah, the first letters are the huruf al-muqattat. It literally puts us down. We do not know anything unless Allah tells us or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, he does not cater to our curiosity. He does not address our, because we also always want to know everything about everything. This is the time and era we are living in. Everything is open on, you know, Google. Everything is open on the media. Everybody's life stories are there. So we're always just generally curious people. We don't know what happened. What happened in that story? What happened there? Who did what? Allah says, no, it's okay. It's okay not to know something. So that is one thing that's very important for us to understand. Sometimes in life, we won't know the wisdom behind a certain situation, a certain incident that happens in our life. It's okay. Just take that and say, Qadrullah. It is from Allah, right? So this is a very important thing. First of all, and the second lesson that we learn from it is, Allah says, this book, or these verses from this book is clear, very clear. So the ayat are very clear. Mubeen means something that's clear, concise, and easy to understand. So yes, though it has a deeper meaning as well, but even then for anybody, you and me, even little kids, when we tell them the story, they will be able to understand. The book has a miracle. This Quran is a miracle that the deeper you go down, the more gems you can derive, the more pearls you can take them out. It's like a sea. You see the water up, but then the deeper you go, you'll see treasures and treasures. But even then, you can still see, you can still go to the surface level and still get the meanings out of it. You will still be able to get out the moral values of it. You still be able to get out the lessons that are needed for us in daily life. So this is one of the miracles of Quran, that if you want to stay to the surface, you will still get what is required. But if you want to go deep in it, there is no end to it. There is no end to it. Like we haven't reached the bottom of the sea, like we haven't reached the skies that high, you know, the limit is the sky. There is literally no limit in understanding the Quran. The second ayah says, "Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum taqilun." Indeed, we are the ones who sent down this Quran in Arabic, so that you may use your intellect, so that you may be, understand. Right. So, this book was revealed by Allah. Allah clearly says it, right? We are the ones who revealed it. And the word here, if you look at the word anzalnahu, it means to reveal something. If Allah Ta'ala would have said another word like wahi could also be a whisper or some kind of reference. But anzalna means a clear words have been revealed. Prophet ﷺ did not change anything and could not change anything from the Quran. Not even a word, not even a letter. So that's what anzalnahu is different, is that he revealed everything as it is, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited it as it is, was revealed to him. He could not have changed it. And the word here, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, that the word تَعْقِلُونَ, if you say the word aql, aql means your intellect. So Allah Ta'ala wants us to use our intellect. This book requires us to use our intellect. Do not think that Allah wants us to blindly just read the Quran. No, our Quran, many times in Allah Ta'ala asks in the Quran, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, so do you not use your intellect? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, so you do not pay any heed, do not remind yourself. So remembrance, using intellect, using our minds are very, very encouraged and even liked in the in our deen. So do not think, do not hesitate to ask a question when it is to get knowledge. Yes, we are, what we do not, what Allah Ta'ala does not like or what is not preferred is asking the question just to, for the sake of questions or just for the sake of argument or just for the sake of disagreement. Asking a question to learn, for example, you didn't know anything. For example, somebody could say, well, why this Alif Lam Ra was to reveal or why Allah Ta'ala? Well, now we know the reason. But if they ask just to make fun of, to mock, to belittle or to start an argument, that is not preferred. That is not encouraged. But when to learn, yes, definitely. Allah Ta'ala and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we were always, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was always asking people, you know, if you have any questions to ask. So it is very preferred. It is not just preferred, it's very encouraged in our deen to ask questions, to ask intellectual questions, okay? So we should use our intellect. And the third ayah says that he said, we relate to you, O Muhammad, the best of the stories in what we have revealed to you of this Quran, although you were before it among the unaware. So basically, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. So Allah is telling, we are relating to you. We are giving you this beautiful story. And the word qasas, it is a story that has a lot of values and lessons. So this is a story that is not just for the sake of a story or just for the fun of it, right? Every story in the Quran is there for a reason, for us to learn from it, to take derived lessons from it, what we are doing, inshallah, and we will be doing for the next few weeks. And we will learn to think about over the Quran in intellectual way, in a more different way, not just reciting the Arabic, but getting the words that are hidden, the pearls behind it. So ayah 3, what is the lesson that we learn from the ayah 3 is, basically, one thing is, this story was not known in the Arabs. They had no idea about who Yusuf al-Islam was. They knew other stories. They knew other stories because of how it was, you know, related and how they were close by. Nuh al-Islam's and other stories. But they had no idea. They knew about Lut al-Islam's story. But they had no idea about who Yusuf al-Islam was and what was the story. This was the story, basically, that they had no idea. And Allah Ta'ala revealed the whole story in one gist. So, to basically confirm and to say that could only be from Allah. Prophet ﷺ could not have ever come up with something, right? So this was definitely from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learn a lot of lessons from these ayat. I have 3 minutes, but inshallah I'm not going to go into further ayahs, but I'm going to keep it to 3, inshallah. Just few other things before we end the session. Yes, one other thing that I would like you to add is, if you guys have your Mus'haf with you, definitely do, if I tell you to highlight a word or maybe something, highlight it or maybe write somewhere in your notes. First of all, the word Quran. We all know this word Quran is mentioned in the Quran about it. It comes from the word qara'a yaqra, which means to be recited. Something that is recited by anyone and everyone. It means it's something that has this beauty, like I said, the miracle that anybody can recite it. Someone who is a very intellectual person, they can get lessons from it in a deep way. Somebody who's a beginner in the Quran, they will recite and they will get something out of it. For example, I can tell you from my journey, when I began my journey of Quran, and I became a student of Quran many years ago, 10 plus years ago, when I went through the tafsir explanation, I was like, subhanAllah. But every time I go back and reread the surah, reread the ayah, and something new comes up, some new gem comes up, right? So this is the beauty of Quran. The first time you read in a different way. But second time you read in a different way. So what I really want you guys to do is, when you, from between today and tomorrow, these 3 ayat, maybe re-recite them, reread them with the translation, and think about maybe 1 lesson or 2 lessons, then you guys can type here maybe tomorrow that you learned from this, 3 ayat. What is something that stuck to you? What is something that really got you, inshallah? And then as we proceed in our story, you'll see how many beautiful lessons we can derive from it. So I think I have 1 minute. If anybody has any questions or any comments, please do write. I would like to hear from you, because I want to end here. We're gonna start the next ayat tomorrow, inshallah. Anybody has anything to say? Inshallah. Otherwise, I will conclude, inshallah. Okay, so Jazakallah khair. Inshallah, we'll have our next session. Not today. Any quiz? But the quiz will be something that the. How do we tell you the lessons? You can type them up here tomorrow when you come, inshallah, and I can read them, and maybe you can email me. I'm not sure about that. Yes, anything that you can find from these ayah, that whatever we have talked about it. If you would love to memorize the surah, that would be great. That would be beautiful. All right. So inshallah, we'll have our next session, inshallah, with Sister Shifa. I think, if I'm not, no, not Sister Shifa. Sorry. I'm confused. We have the session with we have the session with Sister Shifa, inshallah, with the mother of the believers. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. So, I'm Shifa, and I am a teacher from Atlanta, Georgia. Inshallah, we're going to start off our session on the mothers of the believers. If you know who the mothers of the believers are or what that refers to, inshallah, go ahead and drop a 1 in the comment. And if you have no idea, put a 2 in the comments. Okay, cool. So I see a lot of 1s. I see some 2s. That is awesome. Inshallah, let's go through some of their stories. So today we're actually going to do more of an introduction than actually go through a lot of their stories. But on our next slide, I have our... Okay. So inshallah, on our next slide, we do have a kind of like a little mini activity for us to do. So go ahead and close your eyes. I know it's not popping up. It's okay, inshallah. We'll get there. But go ahead and close your eyes for a second and think about what you value in other people. What do you think about, it's one of my favorite questions to ask people. And then go ahead and drop that in the comment box. So for example, it's like, think about maybe a friend or someone in your life that you admire. Maybe it's your mom, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's someone that you read about in a book. What is it about that person that you were attracted to? So for me, I'll go first. But I really, when I was younger, I used to really value like loyalty. I thought loyalty was awesome. I would love to see that in other people. And I thought, okay, if I can just see that from other people, like that's a person that I want to be a friend with. Now at this point in my life, I think I really value people who are, who get things done, who say that they're going to do something and then they get them done, or people who are curious. Okay, so I see a lot of respect, strong, hard work. I love hard work, single-mindedness. Ooh, interesting. Soft-hearted, kindness, loyalty, kindness, love. Okay, inshallah. So keep thinking about these things. Keep them in the back of your mind. And as we go through, we'll go through and sort of see like how that relates to the seerah and why we're specifically focusing on mothers of the believers. All right. The reason also I ask you that is because what you value about other people, and I guess I see never-ending hard work. I see a lot of the same kindness, loyalty. Well, what you value about other people is what you also strive to have for yourself. So like I said, when I was younger, I valued loyalty, but that was something that I really wanted myself to have. Okay, so why are we doing seerah? Up on the slide, we have a ayah from Surah Nisa, ayah 165. It's not the only ayah that talks about the Prophet and why we should study seerah. I chose this one because I do think it highlights a few things. Let me read it out to you, inshallah, and I know you guys can read it too. And then we can go into a couple of reasons for why we study the seerah in particular. Allah says, we sent messengers as bringers of glad tidings, or good tidings, and warners, so that mankind will have no argument against Allah after the messengers. And ever is Allah exalted in might and wise. Alright, so with that, just to, I guess, think about this. when we study about the prophet, we are told that we have to love, love the prophet. So I was reading about this and it said that the Muslim's faith cannot be complete unless he loves the prophet, and until the prophet is dearer to him than his father and his son and his own self. That's narrated by Anas, that the prophet said that none of you truly believes until I'm dearer to him than his father, his son, his own self, and all the people. When you study the prophet's life, you learn more than just the story of the prophet. If you have a couple of ideas of why we study the Sirah, inshallah, before I tell you, go ahead and leave that in the comment box. I'd love to read about what you guys already know or why you think you study this life of the prophet. And we're going to spend, like I said, not just studying the prophet himself, but also the people around him, specifically the mothers of the believers. But if you do know, go ahead and leave that, inshallah, in the comment box. And while you're leaving those, okay, because he's our role model, excellent, amazing, learn from what he taught us, learn from his experiences, excellent. Apply those lessons, awesome, awesome. That there's a lot of lessons. You definitely learn more than just a story. You learn about how Allah prepared the prophet for his mission. You learn about how the Quran was really revealed. You learn how to be a better Muslim, excellent. You learn about why certain parts of the Quran were revealed at certain moments. You learn about how a small band of faithful Muslims defeated Arabia's fiercest warriors. To see how we should live our lives, excellent, lead our lives. Learn about the trials of the prophet, excellent. And then I feel like you also, in general, when you study the prophet, you learn about how Islam triumphed over falsehood and how that idea kind of spread around through the people. And we see that mostly through other people. Excellent. We've got difficulties and obstacles because you remain determined. It's a really good word. Determined is really good. All right. So on, I think it's our next slide, but at the top it says that if you don't know someone, you can't love them. And if you don't know about their glad tidings and their warnings, you can't follow them. On our next slide, inshallah. But I'll just go for it. There is a couple of things written on here, but let's listen as well. So to start us off, we read this. A lot of us already wrote it down. That's awesome. To learn how to increase our love for the prophet and for Allah, to understand the blessing that is the story of the prophet as well as the people around him. And we mentioned this. The life of the prophet is a perfect example of how we should be living our own. The beauty of the Quran that is embodied in his life. That one, another really relevant ayah is Surah Ahzab, ayah 21. It says, indeed, his life is a perfect example for those looking forward to the last day. So going back to those warnings, going back to those glad tidings. Learning about the prophet eases the difficulty in our own lives. And I think this is a very good time for us to learn about that because we do have a kind of a crazy time with us with coronavirus, with self-quarantine, with a lot of people that we know being very directly affected by this virus, either by losing their jobs or by money problems, or maybe we know someone who has this virus. You also learn what it's like to develop the people around you. Your belief and doing good things makes it easier for you to follow through your duties. I think that for a lot of us, we've heard stories about the prophet, and if you haven't, inshallah, you will. One thing we don't always talk about is the background of the world that the prophet came into. And here's why I want to mention this. Because again, we've heard this, a lot of us have heard these stories, and I'm just leading up to why we're focusing on mothers of believers in particular, but I will get to that in a second. And then on our next slide, at the top it says, one of the shiukhs that I listened to, he said that you don't realize the gift you have until you see the darkness of the world. So, okay, we'll get there then, inshallah. But you don't realize the gift you have until you see the darkness of the world. Go ahead and put a 1 in the chat box if you've ever learned about what was going on in the world before the prophet was gifted revelation. Put a 2 if you didn't know. I recommend being honest. Think about that for yourself because I myself did not know a lot of detail until fairly recently. Okay, so we've got a couple of things. Okay, a lot of us, I see some 1s, I see some 2s. 1.5, I like that. All right, we've got the Roman Empire, we have the Byzantine Empire, we have the Persians, we have the rise of the Indian subcontinent. For the Roman Empire specifically, they're headquartered in Constantinople, where working people are oppressed. The Byzantine Empire's history kind of goes with them. They are mentioned in Surah Rum. Their Bible, their book of knowledge, has been changed multiple times to suit their own purpose. We've got the Persians, who are fire worshippers. We have wars between Persians and the Romans. We have the rise of Buddhism and Hindu traditions. You have, and then you come to the people of Mecca who they worship idols, they were superstitious, they visited fortune tellers, but even so, they had some sort of belief in a higher power, and it was because they had something in their city that was left over from the time of Ibrahim. And if you know what I'm talking about, go ahead and put that in the chat box. Something in their city, a very famous landform, or, yes, excellent. Thanks, Sister Mary. What is the Kaaba? Excellent. So they had the Kaaba in the city of Mecca, and the people of Quraysh take a lot of pride in that, and having the Kaaba and being the caretakers of all the pilgrims who come. So it's almost like Mecca is this blank slate ready for the revelation. So once that revelation comes, they, people, a small band of Muslims, they take it, they run with it, inshallah, they let, they make Islam spread, and the seerah is that story of the prophets before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's also the story of the prophet and how he spread Islam throughout the land. Okay. So that brings us to why we're focusing on the mothers of the believers in particular. So like I said, the word seerah is about the prophet, and it means, the root word is actually meaning journey. We're commanded to follow the prophet. You can do that if we know him. And the word ummahat al-mu'minin, which is right here up on the board, it's the Arabic for it, the mothers of the believers. And it refers to the prophet's wives. So it's kind of, it's interesting to think about. Why do you think they are called the mothers of the believers instead of referring to them as the wives of the prophets? Because technically, they're not really anyone's mother. Like, they didn't, they're not part of, for example, my lineage, to my knowledge. They're not part of my lineage. But they're still referred to as a mother. And to think about this, first think about what you, what relationship you have with your mother. I'm going to speak to myself first, so you can go ahead, close your eyes if you need to think about it. When I was younger, I thought her purpose in life, it's going to sound terrible, I know, but I thought her purpose in life was just to ruin mine. To take notes, just listen first. Just listen for this one. Inshallah, we'll talk about notes in a second. But I thought that mama, my mama, she was wonderful, and she was very kind and wonderful, but like I always disagreed with almost everything she said. And at this point, alhamdulillah, I'm past that, but I had to learn about the sacrifices she made to raise me and my siblings, and I really learned about how her love was her driving motivation for everything she did. And like, alhamdulillah, we're fine now. But it took us a minute to get there. And then next, think about the honor granted to mothers in Islam. We know that when the Prophet was asked by Sahaba about who he should love, the Prophet responded with, your mother, your mother, your mother. He responded with that three times. Something else to think about is Allah's names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, have the connotation of a mother's love. Like, if you ever look at the meaning of those linguistically and break them down. Because that's a type of love that we're all really familiar with. The meaning of mother here could also be used for like tarbiyah and of hope and of protection. And to clarify, tarbiyah is an Arabic word that linguistically means to increase and nurture. It refers to the development and training of people in various aspects. Excellent. I see in the comments that's because the mother teaches how to live way life correctly. Excellent. Take care of us and raise us to follow the right path because we have to love them and respect them. Wonderful. Like it's all coming back down to that same idea that we know what a mother's love looks like. And so by calling them the mothers of the believers, that highest level of love that we know, like a very clear example, we ascribe that to the mothers of the believers. That same love we have for our mothers, we use it as a quality to describe the wives of the prophet. So inshallah, the next couple of weeks, we'll go through a characteristic or a value that we have of each of the mothers of the believers. So think back to those values that we were thinking about in the beginning. We had a lot of kindness, we had loyalty, we had leadership. We went back, there was hardworking. All of those values are embodied in the wives of the Prophet. And the first one, in my opinion, I think the first wife, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, she really embodied like loyalty. And because we don't have hours and hours to spend, we'll inshallah be highlighting a few key parts from each story. And I just wanted to go through the very beginning of Khadija bint Khuwaylid, just a very quick like a hadith or two about her, and then inshallah tomorrow we can go a lot further into that. So the story of Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the first one we're going to cover, it's a story of loyalty and of love. And al-Bukhari narrated a hadith from Aisha who said, I never felt jealous for any of the wives of the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, as I did of Khadija, although she died before he married me because of what I heard him say about her. So she would come up in his life a lot. There are stories about how he would honor her friends by making sure he greeted them, by whenever he would still send food to her family. One more thing about Khadija, that she would, like, there's only four women who are protected, perfected their iman. It was Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, Maryam, mother of Isa, Islam, Khadija, the Prophet's first wife, and the Fatima of Muhammad, who was his daughter. She was the first of everything. She was the first of the Sahaba that Allah sent salam to. She was the first who made wudu, who prayed alongside the Prophet. She was a noble woman, and she actually ended up becoming either one of the richest or the richest woman of Quraysh. She was the mother of all his kids except for Ibrahim. And if you want to get ahead for tomorrow, inshallah, you can look up what Zamiluni means, because that's going to be one of the stories we'll go through. And then last thing about her, because I think, do you guys know what age the Prophet was when he married her? If you do know, go ahead and put that in the chat box. 20, okay, 20, 25. So a lot of stories do say that he was 25. That's going to be what we're going to go with. Definitely on the younger side. When the Prophet turned 25, he married Khadija al-Kubra. So she was part of the tribe of Quraysh. Excellent. I see a lot of 25s. She was part of the tribe of Quraysh. Okay. Do you know what tribe the Prophet was part of? And if you do... Okay, I see that. Excellent, Dania. That was really good. If you do know the tribe that the Prophet was part of, go ahead and put that in the chat box as well. Banu Hashim, excellent. That's going to be the overarching one. Quraysh, excellent. Thank you. So Banu Hashim, Quraysh. And if we go through the whole genealogy, I think it's super interesting, but I don't think we quite have the time for that. She is from the same tribe as the Prophet. Her father was a renowned Arab trader. He was really well known. He settled in Mecca where he established his business. And then from his business, there's a couple different stories about where her own wealth comes from. Some people say that it's from his business. She took over after he died. Some people say that it's from a previous marriage. She was married twice. For her own business, she ended up, like I said, becoming one of the richest women in Quraysh. And she would hire people, specifically people who were honest and decent. She would hand over her goods to them. And that is how she meets the Prophet. All right, inshallah, but her full story, or a couple more things about it, inshallah, we'll go through tomorrow because I don't want to spoil all of it. But for the remaining 3 minutes, I got a question about taking notes. I would recommend that you take notes if you aren't already. And of course, today was just an introduction one. But when you jot down your thoughts, you either tend to remember them. I would also recommend that when you leave this class, you go find someone, find a friend, find your mother, find your dad, a brother, your little sister, I don't know, someone. But find them and teach them whatever you learned from this class. Maybe it was a dua, maybe it was something about sila that you might not have known. And if there was something that you learned, if you want to practice it, here is a great place to practice it. Something that you either didn't know, or that you, like, learned new that day, or you think that someone else might not know. So for myself, I learned the story of Prophet Yusuf. Like, I've studied that before, but I was listening earlier, and I'm going to go home, inshallah, and tell my parents. So again, for those notes, since someone was asking, I would highly recommend that you do keep your notes, and we kind of go through. Because the way that we're going to go through for the next 6 weeks is that every day we'll be focusing on a different wife of the Prophet, something about her, her background. We'll be doing some highlights, story highlights, or if we have the story of how they met and how they got married or why they got married, we'll do that too, inshallah. Good job. That was a good question. How many wives? There are 11. Ooh, thank you for letting me know. Inshallah, I will try and go slower tomorrow. I know I get very fast. Okay, all right. I will keep that in mind for tomorrow, inshallah. Thank you for letting me know. What was the last woman? We'll go through the order, inshallah. Each day we'll have it. And then the last day, because we do have an extra day, we'll be doing Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet. As far as recordings, inshallah, I think that will be emailed. That information will, you'll know about it. Okay, it is officially, it's 1:29 for me. So that means, what was the word? Oh, I said the word Zamiluni. So it's going to be one of the stories that we go through with about Khadija bint Khuwaylid. If you have a question, you can go ahead and drop that in, but I'm sure we'll have more time for questions at the end. And I'm officially going to switch over. We're going to be learning about Aqidah with Sister Amina. She's really awesome. Okay. Wa'iyakum. I think she's online. She'll be here in like 30 seconds.
Assalamualaikum, everyone. Jazakallah khair so much for the intro. Sorry, a minute late or so. Yes, inshallah, today we're going to be doing the Aqidah, and our topic will be about a very important hadith called the Hadith of Jibreel. So if you could please change the slide. Inshallah, you can go to the next one, please. Jazakallah khair. So this hadith was narrated by Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. We were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one day when a man appeared with very white clothes and very black hair, there were no signs of travel on him and we did not recognize him. He sat down in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and rested his knees by his knees and placed his hands on his thighs. So this is just the first part of the hadith, and some things to point out. This is a very strange event for the Sahaba because, you know, they never met this person. This man comes out of nowhere, and you would expect him, if he's new, to have traveled a long way, but it didn't look like he had been traveling. He didn't look tired or sweaty or dirty at all. And he came and sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so close that like it would be someone that he knew, right? So Sahaba are already a little confused, like, who is this person, right? Can you please go to the next slide? So the man said, "O Muhammad, tell me about Islam." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Islam is to testify there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, to establish prayer, to give charity, to fast the month of Ramadan, and to perform pilgrimage to the house the way as possible." The man said, "You have spoken truthfully." We were surprised that he asked him and said he was truthful. So we know that these are the five pillars of Islam that the Prophet ﷺ is listing out. So this is obviously really, really important, right? The foundation of Islam would be the five pillars, the things that all Muslims are required to do. And the Sahaba were surprised because, you know, usually when someone asks the Prophet ﷺ a question, they don't already have the answer. But this, one second. I'm sorry. Okay, but this man, he asked the Prophet ﷺ a question and he said that you are truthful, which means he already knew the answer. So this is another surprising thing, right? If you could please go to the next slide. Then the man said, "Tell me about faith." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Faith is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and to believe in providence, its good and its evil." And the man said, "You have spoken truthfully. Tell me about excellence." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Excellence is to worship Allah as if you see Him. For if you do not see Him, He surely sees you." So here first the Prophet ﷺ is listing out the six pillars of Iman. This is what is required for all Muslims to believe in. And these are things that we cannot see. So it's a test for our faith, right? So even though we cannot see it, we believe it because of what Allah told us in the Quran and what the Prophet ﷺ told us in the Hadith. And then after that, the man asks him about excellence, which in Arabic we say ihsan. And he said, excellence is to worship Allah as if you see him. So, inshallah, we're going to break down this hadith in the following classes and go in more detail. But this is a very great advice to how to live our life, right? Is to remember that Allah is always watching us. Okay, inshallah, next slide, please. The man said, tell me about the final hour. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one asked does not know more than the one asking. The man said, tell me about its signs. The Prophet ﷺ said, the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and you will see barefoot, naked, independent shepherds compete in the construction of tall buildings. Then the man returned, and I remained. The Prophet ﷺ said to me, O Omar, do you know who he was? I said, Allah and his messenger know best. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily, he was Gabriel. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try to slow down. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily, he was Gabriel who came to teach you your religion. And this hadith was narrated in Sahih Muslim. So for this final part, we learned some of the signs of the Day of Judgment. And inshallah, we will later on go in more detail. Oh, okay, sure, sure. If you could please go to the slide before this, sister. Yes, so in this slide, we were talking about the six pillars of Iman, which is the belief in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and the belief in Providence, which is the Qadr, or the fate. Everything is already decreed and written down, everything that will take place. And then the man asks about excellence, which is Ihsan, and this means to worship Allah as if you see Allah. And if we ever forget that Allah is watching us, remember, He's still watching us. He's still watching. He's always watching, right? And not only is Allah watching us, also the angels are watching us, and they're recording everything we do. I can ask the sister, I'm not sure if these slides will be sent out in email, but if that's possible, we'll try to get the slides out to you guys, inshallah. Yes, if everyone's ready, we'll move on to the next slide and go to the signs of the last day, please. Okay. So the signs for the last day, this was the last question the man asked, and the Prophet ﷺ said, will we get the recordings? I'm not sure if those are also going to be emailed out. Inshallah, hopefully we'll find out. I'm sorry. but let's see. So, so the signs, there's so many signs that we have, about the Day of Judgment from the Hadith that we're going to go over, inshallah, in a separate class. But some of these signs that the Prophet ﷺ mentions, just in this hadith, is a slave girl will give birth to her mistress. I believe some of the interpretations for the sign is that parents will have children that are disrespectful towards them, or treat them in a bad way or something like that, or that they will become into power and end up treating like their parents like a slave girl. And Allah knows best. I'm not sure about the interpretation, but I think that's what that one means. And the part about barefoot, naked, independent shepherds, I believe this is referring to the Bedouins in the Arab area, the people who would travel and nomads and stuff, that, you know, were considered people that were not very highly educated or a lot into technology and things. But we find those same Arabs today are now in high positions in competing in construction of tall buildings. So, you know, speakers say that when you look into the Arab world today, subhanAllah, there's so many tall buildings. Back when there's only desert, right? Now they have some of the tallest buildings in the world. So this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment that has come true already. And so the final part of this hadith is where it's finally revealed who is this person. And the person was Jibril, Angel Jibril, which makes sense now why he did not look like he had been traveling. and he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's the hadith that this class will be covering, inshallah, in the upcoming classes. And we'll be discussing this one in more detail. For today, I just want to go over a few pointers, some general things about this hadith. The first thing is, the first thing is that a lot of things we might see or witness, and it does not make sense to us. Like when this man came, the Sahaba were confused. But you notice they didn't interrupt, they didn't ask any questions. They waited until, you know, this was over, the conversation, and then they found out. So this teaches us that, you know, sometimes things happen that we don't understand what is going on, or we don't understand why it's taking place. But, you know, it's good to be patient and to trust in Allah, and then things will become clear. Also, this hadith is very important. It's important for all of us to know this hadith because it teaches us the foundation of Islam with the five pillars, which will highlight the things that we are required to do. These are the actions, right, that we do physically. And then it talks about six pillars of Iman. This is actions of the heart, you know, for faith that we have to believe in. And whenever you are teaching even Muslims or non-Muslims about Islam, this is a good point to start with, is to talk about these pillars. Also, it teaches us when Jibreel alayhi salam asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Islam? And he says that this is what Islam is. And he lists out the five pillars. That shows you how important these pillars are. And then the six pillars of faith, how important those are as well. And that the aqidah, the belief that we have, is like the foundation, right? This is what we start off with. And if you look into the history and the seerah, that's what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked on with the Sahaba, right? When they were new Muslims, right? And they had less followers and less power. The first thing he focused on was aqidah, believing in Allah, believing in the messengers. When you read the Quran and the surahs that were revealed in Mecca, they all talk about the stories of the prophets. They talk about Allah and the Day of Judgment and things to build your faith. And then once your faith is strong, then it comes the rules. And so that's why when we notice when they moved to Medina and migrated, that's when there was a shift in the surahs and there were more rules and laws and commands. And that's also something as us Muslims should understand today, that we should try to focus also, first we have to strengthen our faith, and then we also focus on the commands of Allah. A lot of Muslims today, sometimes they have issues with practicing some of the rules. They might be like, why do we have to pray five times? Why do we have to wear hijab? Why do we have to, you know, fast in Ramadan? And, you know, they don't understand why they have to do all these things because they haven't taken the time to strengthen their faith. So let's try, inshallah, strengthen our aqidah and our faith and belief in Allah. And then, inshallah, that will help us be better Muslims. Also, I want to point out that this hadith shows us one of the many ways the Prophet ﷺ received revelation. You know, this is one of the miracles of Islam that alhamdulillah we are blessed with, that we have the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ who was getting direct revelation from the angel. And this is how the Quran was revealed directly through Angel Gabriel, and also the hadith. You know, the Prophet ﷺ did not speak just from his own mind. You know, when someone asked him a question, he didn't just make something up or kind of take a guess. You know, these were revelations and what Allah kind of inspired him to say. There's also different ways that the Prophet ﷺ received this revelation. Angel Jibreel alayhi salam would sometimes come in the form of a human, like he did in this hadith. Other times he would come in his original form, in the form of an angel. And we know an example of this. Does anyone want to type an instance when Jibreel came in his original form? Very good, mashallah. Very good, you guys. in the cave. Very good. The first revelation. That's very good, mashallah. This is when he came in his original form. So it was an amazing sight for the Prophet ﷺ, because in his original form, Jibreel is huge with so many wings. It covered the entire horizon, right? All he could see were the wings and Angel Jibreel. So he sometimes would come in his original form. And another way he would also get revelation was from like a bell. It would sound like a bell, and the Prophet ﷺ would become really stiff. It would be, you know, almost painful for him, and he'd start sweating, and he would get revelation. So all of these show us as Muslims that Islam is the truth. We have proof and evidence that this is from Allah. It is not from men. It's not some person just writing things. The Quran was not just written by people, a group of people just coming together, making things up. You know, the hadith were not written just someone's opinions. These are directly things and commands from Allah that we have. And this is a huge blessing, because most religions, none of the other religions have this. We have, like you see that this hadith that says it's from Sahih Muslim, that tells us that this hadith has been analyzed by scholars. All of the narrators have been tested and checked, and they have been checked for their accuracy, for their honesty, for their memory, for their lifestyle. Everything has been analyzed and checked before this hadith was given the stamp that it's authentic, that it's sahih. So, you know, we alhamdulillah have this whole science of hadith to back up, and this evidence that what we are doing is what is, you know, the best way in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alhamdulillah. So it is kind of, to, you know, sometimes living in, to, you know, any time, especially in today's world, sometimes people might try to put doubt. How do you know that Islam is correct? How do you know Quran is really from God? How do you know about these hadith? But alhamdulillah, we know because of these, all of these, the science of hadith, how they analyze everything, and how they go back to each narrator to check, and the, how the Quran was preserved in the Arabic language, that's the original language, how billions of Muslims around the world, well, they memorize the Quran, even if they don't even understand or speak Arabic, they still memorize in Arabic, right? And we know millions of Muslims, subhanAllah, have memorized the entire Quran. There's no other book, right, that has been memorized every letter in its original language. We know also that the Quran, there's a lot of things that were predicted in the Quran to come true. There are a lot of things from that science has proven today, or medicine has proven today, that's in the Quran from over 1,000 years ago. So it's amazing, and a huge blessing, alhamdulillah, for us to have these ni'mah, inshallah. I think that's pretty much all I wanted to discuss today. If anyone has any other questions related to the hadith, we have 2 minutes left. Jazakallah khair, everyone, for participating and for listening. I'm going to let the next speaker take over. Sister Harim there.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I can say salam. I can say salam. Alhamdulillah. So you can hear me. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. Are we all okay? How are we? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. We're all doing well. Alhamdulillah. We've had a lovely session. Alhamdulillah. I'm well too. JazakAllah khair for asking. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we're nearly at the end of the session. The session will end in about 10 minutes. So after that, you can have a good stretch and inshallah, we'll be done. Is that inshallah? Okay. Yeah, JazakAllah khair. Okay. All right then. Inshallah, we are going to do a recap, inshallah. And we are going to go through each of the sessions that we went through, inshallah, today. So are we all ready for this recap? Type 1 if you're ready. Yeah, it's nice and easy to type the number 1, so let's keep it nice and easy for ourselves. I hope the number 2 means that we're really ready. Inshallah. Okay, alhamdulillah. All right. Right then, inshallah. So, we started with our first session, which was, and it's on the screen, but if you can remember, what was our first session? You can type it quickly. Dua. Excellent. Alhamdulillah. So, our dua session, alhamdulillah. Yeah, JazakAllah khair. Well done. Well done. You can type very fast. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So, we learnt about a beautiful dua that we can say in our salah. So we looked at, first of all, our salah, and we looked at our, obviously, the positions that we have in our salah. And there's one particular dua that we came upon. Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Dua, it is stiffer. Excellent. So this one, can anyone remember where we need to recite it? Or when we can recite it? Not we need to, when we can recite it. In Qiyam, yeah, the opening of the prayer, absolutely. So after we start our salah and say Allahu Akbar, after that, absolutely. So we know the familiar dua, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. And there's also this dua that we can recite at the beginning as well, just before we recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Is that clear with everybody? Inshallah? Yeah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Okay, and moving on then to the next one. Our next session was, who can remember? Surah Yusuf, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I don't think we need a break, alhamdulillah, everyone's wide awake, alhamdulillah. So, Surah Yusuf. We covered in Surah Yusuf, well actually before covering Surah Yusuf, we looked at an introduction. So, introducing the surah to ourselves, what it is all about, the background behind it. We learn that it's obviously covering the story of a particular prophet, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And we are introduced to the family tree, you can say, of Yusuf alayhi salam. He is a descendant of who? That's my first question. Yaqub alayhi salam, alhamdulillah. And who's, and Yaqub alayhi salam is a descendant of? Ishaq alayhi salam, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam, alhamdulillah. So Yusuf alayhi salam came from a family of prophets. And so, so Yusuf alayhi salam came from a family of prophets, and we saw how, okay, alhamdulillah. So we saw how there's lessons that we can learn from this. There's overall lessons of the surah, such as jealousy and positivity and patience, sincere dua, and taqwa. Alhamdulillah. Okay. Come across some beautiful words, asan and qasas, which actually means an excellent story or a beautiful story. And it's a story with morals. So inshallah we'll be learning many, many morals and lessons from this surah. Okay. After that we looked at three ayahs. Okay, we're going on to the next one. going on to the next topic, alhamdulillah. Yeah, mothers of the believers. Khadija, radiallahu anha, we had a little summary of her. We're going to look at the story tomorrow, inshallah. And that was actually one of my questions. So well done to those who've answered it already. Alhamdulillah. So we've looked a little bit at the seerah and why we should have this many Quran ayahs that refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have also come across the question, why learn about the mothers of the believers? Why do we need to learn about the mothers of the believers? To be like them, absolutely. Nice quick answers, alhamdulillah, keep coming. Let's keep going. They perfected their iman, subhanallah. Yeah, to strengthen our faith, to be like them, yeah. But there will be of course, yeah. Give us morals and learn from them, absolutely, alhamdulillah. We're on the right path like them. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Mashallah. Okay, right. And then our last session, what was our last session? Aqeedah. Absolutely. Okay, what did we look at in this? Before I answer it, I think, maybe I'll ask you this question. What did we cover next? Oh, let me just click on the slide. Okay. So, the hadith, yeah, of course, the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, and we came across the basis, or you can say the basics, or the foundations of our, of Islam, of our deen, of our religion. Yeah, we came across the doomsday signs, absolutely. What else did we come across? Islam, faith, and excellence, subhanAllah, excellent. So, Islam is the five pillars, absolutely. Yeah. And then excellence is, sorry, no. First it was Islam, then it was faith. Faith is, yeah. The six beliefs, yeah. And then, yeah. Okay. And then we came across excellence, and what was that? Yasania, what was that about? Allah can see us, absolutely. Worship Allah as if you see Him. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see us, absolutely. Absolutely, subhanallah. Subhanallah. Pardon. Yeah, worship Allah as if you can see Him, absolutely. Yeah, because absolutely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we always need to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see us. Whether we think that no one else is watching, we think we can hide away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always, always watching us. Yeah, absolutely. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, worship as if Allah sees us, and yeah, Allah sees us even in the dark. Absolutely. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Anyone else want to add anything? To any of the topics, inshallah? Alhamdulillah. Okay, alhamdulillah. So, made lots of notes. And inshallah, had a good recap as well. I hope that this has really benefited us. We think that we've had a good recap and an overall good session. Alhamdulillah, really enjoyed the class, yeah. Type 1 if you enjoyed it. Type 2 if you really enjoyed it. Do, alhamdulillah. What does 3 mean then? alhamdulillah. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure we could go up to lots and lots of numbers, but alhamdulillah, I'm really happy to see that we are also participating so actively. So alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all. Very useful and enjoyed it, alhamdulillah. Okay then, just a few quick announcements, and I know that many of us are asking many questions. Please do leave the questions till the end, because we don't really want to interrupt the sessions going on in between, inshallah. Yeah. So if we can, inshallah, just listen in for the last minute or so, for the announcements for today, inshallah. So first of all, inshallah, we will be issuing class IDs. So it's a bit like when you go to school, college, uni, whatever you're at, you have some sort of IDs, hopefully you do. These are what you will, inshallah, be using to join the class. So you'll be typing that in instead of your name. So today you entered with your name. And inshallah, when you get your IDs, inshallah, you'll type, you'll use those IDs. And they will be given to the people that have fully registered, okay? And that means the form filled in and also the fees paid, alhamdulillah. Okay? The link for every class will be given up to an hour before the class. So you'll get the link in time, inshallah. Any queries, we have this email address, which I'm putting up on the slide, inshallah. Yep. But any queries, there we go. There's an email address there. Please do contact us there on the email address and we will, inshallah, answer any questions that you have, inshallah. Okay. Jazakumullahu khairan kathiran. Inshallah. We will join next soon, tomorrow, inshallah. Same time, same place, inshallah. We'll finish with the dua. لكم الله خيرا كثيرا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.